preaches, the more it sees fit anything that's on your heart.
How do you follow that? Man, that is a blessing. Well, my name is Jesse Beal. I'm a missionary in the country of Ukraine. I've been there for 16 years. I've been in missions for 25 years. Thank you, bud. I'm going to need that in a minute. I've been in missions for 25 years. I've been in China. I've been in Hong Kong. I've been in Romania. I've been in Austria. I've been in Yugoslavia when it was Yugoslavia. I was in Czechoslovakia when it was Czechoslovakia. They were fighting at that time. Myself and two other missionaries took gospel literature there, handed it out to some local pastors, and they crawled down to the firing line to hand out gospel literature. Asked me if I wanted to go. I told them no. I didn't want to go down there and get shot, you know. But you know what? God has blessed over the years. In 1992, I went to the country of Ukraine. And I just left Romania. Went up there and I preached at a funeral. And the brother said I could tell stories, but I want to give you my testimony, and I want to just tell you a few things about my life, and then I'd like to encourage you just a little bit. And so if I go over the 25 minutes, brother, forgive me already, okay? Because I like to talk. I do like to talk when I get started. I shake a lot because I have essential tremors, and I can't hardly write sometimes, but I still love God. But anyways, I went into Romania, and we preached this funeral for this man. He'd been in Siberia in the prisons for preaching the gospel. He got out right after Khrushchev had released him and so forth. Well, anyways, he came back home, 62 years old, started his Bible study up again. And then 20 years later, he died. And so anyways, I had the privilege of going and preaching there in that funeral. But I took four men with me at that time. Pastor Tom Bard out of New Hampshire, he went with me. Don Kern, missions pastor in our church. Mike Ireland, who's now a missionary in Ukraine, has been for almost 20 years. And we preached there, and God moved in every one of our lives. A few years later, I was working with Mike in Kiev for 6 months. We took 18, there was 18 of us, but we took 12 young people with us there. And that's what I'm here today is to tell you, I'm a recruiter also. Not only do I like to preach, I like to recruit young men to come to the mission field. So anyways, I'll tell you a little bit more about that, and so I don't want to get too scattered out here and have to bring all the fish back into the net again. But I got saved when I was 35 years old. I'm 67 years old now. I've been saved for 32 years.
Amen, brother.
I had read everything. You know Jack Chick, his material? I read everything that he had. People would give me gospel track after gospel track, and I'd read every one of them. I'd look at that sinner's prayer. I'd walk home. I was on an island out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean called the Shetland Island, the Azores. And I'd walk home. I would be weeping, calling out to God, save me. I'd get home and know that I wasn't saved. But it says that if you believe, I mean, if you say this prayer, I mean, you're going to get saved. I wasn't saved. And you know what? This went on for quite some time. And these guys on the island, these believers, they were so faithful. They'd come to my office and they'd give me this gospel literature because I couldn't get enough of it. But you know what? It came a time on a Saturday afternoon. I'm sitting on my couch, and as the Holy Spirit spoke to me, said, "You need to pray." And I thought, pray. And it was like, you need to go to a secreted place to pray. See, my grandmother back in Georgia used to take me to tent meetings. And I'd heard somewhere along the way that you need to go someplace secret to pray. So I did. I went into my toilet. And I got on my knees and I said two words. Save me. I knew at that moment that if I hadn't have done that, the Holy Spirit had already said, this is your last chance. I'll never give you that chance again.
All right.
And I knew right that moment that I was a new creature in Christ. I'd never even heard of that scripture, but it came to me that I was a new creature in Christ. The old things have passed away. All things became new. I opened that door, and I knew that life had changed for me. 13 years out of the military, I went to Bible college. You know, I didn't retire, and I don't have a retirement from the military. I do have Social Security, though. Yeah. But anyways, God moved and worked in my life, and I am so glad. I have been all over the world preaching the gospel, trying the best I can to reach others, to encourage young men. I can tell you story after story. I can keep you for hours about what God has done just in my life personally. And I don't understand it. I don't think I will ever understand it. But I'm so pleased to be a part of the family.
Amen.
The family of God. Amen. So anyways, our ministry, I have a church. I told the pastor, I have a church in Ukraine. I got 873 people in our congregation. And I don't know any one of them. I don't ever see their face. I love them. I don't know their problems. I love that too. You know what I get to do to them? Is teach them the Word of God. Well, how do you do that? Through correspondence. We have learned, you know what? We have a predominant, brother, you got it, Catholic, Orthodox people. When they say 98%, brother, believe me, when you talk to somebody in Ukraine, you know, are you born again? They don't have the foggiest idea of what you're talking about. Ask them if they're a believer. And every single one of them is a believer. Every single one of them. You know what you had to do? You know what we do? My partners in ministry, and there's a whole nother lifetime of stories. We reach people with Bible lessons. We start in the book of Genesis, and we end in the book of Genesis. But it takes them all the way through the Gospels. We don't start with, you know, you got to trust God as your Savior, and then do a Bible study. We take them from the beginning because you know what? Every single one of us got saved from the beginning.
That's right.
Somebody had to teach you. Somebody had to tell you. Somebody had to show you. And as these people begin to study the Word of God, and this is one of our lessons in Ukrainian, and I do have the lessons in English too. You're more than welcome to look at them. I think later on I'll put some over here if I could use that little table. You know, and you all look at them, but don't take them. You're more than welcome to look at them because then I got to buy them again. You know, but anyways, I just want you to know we are reaching people. We get letters saying, I trusted Jesus as my Savior. How old are you? I'm 73 years old. I'm 19. I'm 25. And these people, we're wanting to reach them for Jesus Christ so that they will reach others.
Amen.
They don't have a church history except for the Catholic Church. They don't have a church tradition. But once they get saved, once they know the truth of the Word of God, guess what? They tell others.
Yeah.
We get more people coming to us now through word of mouth than we do when we go out and hand out gospel letters. I don't hand out gospel tracts, forgive me. You know what I do? I hand out invitations to get involved in a correspondence course.
Yeah.
Last year, we handed out myself and four other guys 192,000 pieces of literature in the Carpathian Mountains, in the cities and villages of Ukraine. There are 24 obelisks in Ukraine. We have Bible students in every obelisk. Praise God. We grew up into those. Let me tell you, I'm going to tell you a story, and then, we're going up into the mountains. We are like right next to the Czech border. It's right over the hill. And I mean, the roads are so narrow, there's no two-lane roads. They're just dirt roads. You know, I mean, we beat my van up so bad. I mean, I have to rebuild the entire thing almost every 2 years. I don't rebuild it just a little bit, it's a lot. New front ends and everything else like that. But we go back into those mountains, and we went up there and we met this Catholic priest. Wow. We're thinking, oh wow. And they do. They'll kick us right out of the village. But this guy says, oh no, y'all come on in and you all say what you got to say. So we came back. And we had a little small, they have what's called a Zal. It's kind of like a little community center. And it, during the communist times, that was when everybody would come, and they'd get all the news of what they were supposed to do and what they were not supposed to do. So anyways, and what we usually do, we'll go up into the mountains. We camp up there. We stay there all weekend. We sleep on the ground in tents and all of this other kind. They don't have hotels and stuff up there. And so what we did was we went up there and we got our camping stuff all ready, and we went to see the priest and talked to him and invited him to come to the meeting. Okay, I'll be there. So the next morning after the Catholic service, we got our stuff together and we began to have our service. And what we did, we showed the film, and then we preached the gospel. I mean, the place was packed out.
Amen.
And nobody raised their hand for salvation. Nobody jumped up and shouted or did any of that stuff. But they got the gospel of Jesus Christ. We handed out all the literature that we had. And then the priest came up. And he says, you know what? I tell these people the same thing every Sunday morning. He says, they're drunkards. I tell them they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. He says, I tell them they don't need to be out there swapping wives and fornicating and all these other kinds of things. He says, I tell them they need Jesus Christ. Well, we're kind of taken back. We're a little bit shocked. Later on, he invited us over to his house. And we got talking to him. He says, let me tell you something. He says, during the communist times, he says, I used to listen to the radio. And he says, I've been offered other places to go and stay. He says, but no. He says, I stay here because these people need Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he says, on the radio, I used to listen to J. Vernon McGee. He says, I listened to J. Vernon McGee. I heard everything he ever preached. We thought, oh, you know what? This Catholic priest was saved.
Yeah.
I bet my bottom dollar on it. Yeah. I don't have a lot of those. And you know, we came back home, Josh, Nathan, and I. And Josh, we said, you know, we got to get him some more material. We ordered from America everything that J. Vernon McGee ever had, and we took it to him. The man cried when we gave it to him. He's there preaching the gospel. We do. We get into some of those villages, and we've scheduled a meeting, and they kick us right out.
Right.
You know what? We leave rejoicing. We've been there. We've handed out some literature. You know, but man, when we get to preach, it's such a blessing. And that's what I want. We want young men 17 years older and more to come spend 2 months with us. Year before last, we distributed more than a quarter of a million pieces of literature to people throughout the country of Ukraine. And that's always a blessing to us. Young man, you think about it. Talk to me later on.
Yeah,
I do. Pardon me, sir?
I like it.
Praise the Lord. I do want to our ministry is Euro Team Outreach, and you'll see this, and on the back of it, we have our, but I don't want you to take this, because I only have one here with me. But anyways, take the website, if you've got computers and stuff, and look up, and you'll see all about us. We have constantly updating pictures and things like that. We've got 6 young men there. We teach missions to young men for 2 months. We give them hands-on OJT, on-the-job training. We teach them what the Bible says about missions. Okay? And anyways, let me get over here. I like missions so much. Brother, your wife's testimony really touched my heart.
Amen.
The older I get, the more I cry. Things like that just brings tears to my eyes. It's the tears of joy, you know? It's because God moves in people's lives. And it's such a joy to see them, to hear about what God does. Genesis, all the way through to Revelations, is all about missions. In the beginning, that's missions. And the very last amen in Revelation is about missions. Just think about that concept. You know, Abraham was called out. Moses was called out. There is not one single believer here that is not called out. Don't ever think God cannot use you, because God is and will use you if you'll just allow Him to.
That's right.
It's only you that will shortchange God.
Amen.
God, is God's hand shortened that He cannot? Come on, folks. Is it? I mean, we have a great God. Don't you believe that? Don't you understand that concept? I'm just a simple-minded person.
Amen.
And you know what? That's just a simple concept.
Amen.
God is able.
Amen.
The great commission given by Jesus Christ, go ye into all the world. Well, let me see, that did leave out Elmira, New York, didn't it? Paul? Let me see. I believe that's where you got saved, didn't it? So I don't think it left it out.
Amen.
How about North Carolina? The Tar Heel people down there. Can they get saved?
Yes.
You bet. Those people down in Georgia or out in Alabama or over in Washington State or up in Maine, brother. Maine is a hard, hard country. It is. Those people up there, they're so stoic. But God is the softener of hearts.
Amen.
With the Word of God. He says, go into all the world and teach all nations, preaching them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And we all know Acts 1:8, Samaria, outermost, and on and on and on. You know what that is? That's fields that God wants you to go out and plant. He's in charge of the harvest.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get to say the right words, but you know, it's the Holy Spirit that brings in the harvest.
Amen.
We're the laborers. I like the laborer. There's nothing technical about me at all. Right, Lucy? We were having problems with the phone this morning, just trying to use a stinking cell phone. I mean, you know. My daughters, they know so much about that cell phone. I don't understand it. But you know what? Missions is having various tasks assigned to individuals. You know what that means? It's not a profound statement. It means that God has a specific job for each one of you. A specific, he chose you. He went looking for you. And when he found you, he says, okay, brother, sister, this is what I want you to be. I want you to be a good wife. I want you to be a good husband. I want you to be a good witness. I want you to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Joseph was sent to Egypt. Why? To preserve the family. Esther was called to preserve the Jews. The disciples were sent forth. He's in Matthew 6, 10, 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. In John 20, 21, then Jesus said unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father had sent me, even so send I you. Let me tell you, whenever you go out into the world, no matter how far it is from your doorstep, Jesus is right there with you.
Amen.
He's walking alongside him.
Amen.
That healed demonic, you know, Jesus healed him. And the guy comes up to him, he says, let me follow you. And Jesus says, oh, no, I want you to go back home. I want you to tell the folks back there. And so he did. I don't know the special word that God has for each one of you. You have to go looking for it. In order to go looking for it, you know what? You have to be a doer. Let me see, there's a scripture about it. Be a doer of the word of God. You know? Not
hearer.
Be a doer of the word of God. So you get started doing things, and pretty soon you say, wow, I like this. Oh man, I like telling about Jesus Christ. I like going into all the world. I like trying to reach people. I'm terrible at it. I really am. I'll be honest with you. I wish I was more eloquent. I wish I knew the Ukrainian language a lot better. My daughters are native speakers. They were, my oldest one is 19. She was 3 years old when we went there. And my other daughter was 2 months old when we went. She's 15 years old. Let me tell you. When God called me to the country of Ukraine. Do you know he didn't call my wife? When I told my wife, well, we're going to Ukraine, you know what she said? Okay. Just that simple.
I like it.
Amen. And listen, folks. God has a specific word for each and every person because you're special. He doesn't care what you look like. He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care where you came from. He doesn't care how many times you've been married or divorced. He doesn't care how many times you've talked about people in jail and stuff like that. I don't know your history. He doesn't know what kind of a reprobate you were or are even now. He just has a special word for you.
Right.
Don't you realize that? Noah, I love this, was a drunk. You understand? He was a drunk and God used him. Abraham was too old and God used him. Isaac was a daydreamer. Oh, really? We got lots of daydreamers sitting in churches. They can't wait for church to end because they're going to go out and sit someplace else and daydream. Jacob was a liar. How many preachers have you ever run into that are liars? Man, I call pastors on call. Would you ask your pastor to give me a call? Yes, sir. I will.
Yeah.
Give me your number.
Oh.
And I never hear from the pastor. He's a liar.
Oh.
Yeah. Listen. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses, he couldn't talk. Gideon was afraid. Samson, he had long hair and was a whoremonger. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young.
Yeah.
David had an affair and was a murderer.
Right.
Elijah was suicidal.
Right.
Isaiah, he preached naked. I'm not preaching to you naked. I'm not doing that. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. And John the Baptist ate bugs. But I'm telling you. And God used them. Peter denied Christ. How many times have we denied Christ? We do it. We do it consciously and unconsciously. The disciples fell asleep while praying. You never fall asleep when you're praying, do you? I'm telling you. How about reading your Bible? Do you fall asleep when you're reading your Bible? Sometimes I do. I'll admit to that. I've told Paul, my brother sent me his Bible when I got saved. My brother called, prayed for me for 10 years to get saved. 10 years he prayed for me.
God bless him.
He flew down to Alexandria, Virginia. I was a police officer at the time. And he witnessed to me. And I didn't talk to him for the next 7 years. When I went to that island out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, before I went there, I went up to Wisconsin. I asked him to forgive me. He still was praying for me to get saved. I went to that island, and after a year, I got saved. I called him up and said, Larry, he called me this morning. I said, Larry, I got saved. I says, I need a Bible. He says, I'll send you my Bible, and then after that, I'll send you a Bible you can study by. He sent me a Thompson Chain King James Bible. He sent me his wide, his large print Bible. I read it through the first time in 6 months. You know, I couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, and you know what? I still fall asleep sometimes when I'm reading my Bible. That's just my confession. My confession. Martha worried about everything. How many of us don't worry? Mary Magdalene was demon possessed. The Samaritan woman was divorced 5 times. And the guy she was living with wasn't even her husband. And yet, what did she do? Wow, let me see. She went back into the village and told them, he told me all that ever I did. She became an evangelist. They came to him and he preached to them and they became believers. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an altar and Lazarus was dead. Listen, God said, Jesus said, you know what? If you don't proclaim the gospel, the rocks will cry out. I like to think I'm better than a rock.
Amen, brother.
Listen, are you any less than any of these? God wants to use you.
Amen.
You know why he wants to use you? Is it to propagate the gospel? Well, yeah, I guess so. You know why God wants to use you? Because he loves you.
That's right.
You'll use something that you love.
Yeah.
And you'll use it over and over and over.
That's right.
Thank you, folks, for letting us be here. All right?
Brother, thank you for being here. God bless you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your word, brother.